Welcome to the Near Post Local, football and futsal in the capital region, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. I'm Peter Funnell. In tonight's program, we begin our coverage of the Women's Federation Cup final held between Woden Valley FC and Belconnen United FC. Look, it was an absolutely terrific game. 90 minutes of ordinary time, nil all. 30 minutes of extra time, still nil all. It went to a penalty shootout. Belconnen came up trumps in the penalty shootout. They were a very cool act, but it was the 120 minutes of absolutely sensational football that had everyone's attention. Interesting clash in styles, both teams well coached and well prepared for this encounter. What I found particularly interesting about this is just how high the standard is in Women's Premier League football between these two teams, and we're only at the end of the pre-season. Just amazing. The standard has lifted again from 2010. The common thread in this is Woden Valley. Now, Woden Valley played Bell West Foxes, coached by Pat Mills, and Bell West had won that title for 4 years. Won that 2010 Federation Cup final and hammered Woden Valley in like a roofing nail. But by the end of the season, things had changed for Woden Valley. And here we were in 2011, Woden Valley, the defending Premier League champions, playing Belconnen United, who'd had a very slow start to 2010 and finished in good style. Belconnen United clearly had gone away and done their homework, and their preparation had been thorough. They'd put together an excellent playing roster. Both teams were ready to fire. Belconnen, a bit more defensively oriented, they knew they had a real problem on their hands with the Woden Valley Speedsters. But they were ready for that. And I have to say, the centre-back pairing for Belconnen United was as good a demonstration of how to play those positions left and right centre-back as I've seen anywhere in the last few years in our local competition, men's or women's. On the other side of the fence, Woden Valley. A little bit of Barcelona in the valley. Well, they knocked the ball around, they formed triangles everywhere, they got the majority of possession, I thought, throughout the game, and they did their level best to liberate their speedsters and get shots on goal. It's a measure of the quality of the Belconnen United's defensive structure. They were utterly frustrated in their attempts to do so. Both teams just ran themselves into the deck. I guess the only way you were ever going to sort that game out was with a penalty shootout. But oh, what a good game of football. What it will be like in the 2011 season proper is anyone's guess. Tonight we'll hear from Ed Hollis, Woden Valley head coach, and next week we'll hear from the Belconnen United head coach. We'll get two different perspectives and we'll give them time to talk about how they see the game. At the end of tonight's program, we have a little treat that I'm certain will interest a lot of parents and young players. The first one is on diet and nutrition, and the second is on hydration. Now, these short expert commentaries were developed at the Villarreal Club in Spain with the club's senior doctor, Hector Uso. They're an excellent little summary of both subjects. Well, let's get on to the Federation Cup final for women. No better subject. Great omen for women's football, this one. Fantastic. I'm talking to Ed Hollis, the head coach of Woden Valley Women's Premier League team, and they've just been engaged in a fantastic Federation Cup final at McKellar. And I think we should jump straight into that subject. Ed, how you going?
Yeah, very good, Peter. Nice to talk to you. Nice to talk to you.
Righto. You played the Fed Cup final on the weekend. For the listener that wasn't there, 90 minutes of normal time, score nil all. Another 30 minutes of extra time, still nil all. Both teams had played themselves to a standstill. And it went to penalty shootout and plenty of theatre and all the rest of it. I confess I'm not interested in penalty shootouts, but boy, I'm sure interested in that wonderful 120 minutes of football, Ed. Fantastic.
It was look, it was a really interesting game. To turn around and say with 0-0 after 120 minutes of football, most people would think, well, how boring. But I must admit, even just sort of sitting on the sidelines, it was an absolute epic battle between two sides. Two sides of defences were absolutely magnificent and snuffed out, you know, most of the chances. And two goalkeepers from either end that I thought, well, we had to use two because we had one injured. But the goalkeepers on both teams were absolutely tremendous. And
yeah.
In terms of defensive qualities, it was a fantastic sight to see. So, unfortunately, we lost in the penalty shootout, but it was a great game and another really good game of women's football.
The listener would be stunned to know that, I mean, the standard of this football was every bit as good as the standard of the grand final in 2010, which Woden Valley won. I mean, it's almost like you opened the door and you just resumed from where you'd stopped at the end of last season.
Well, what I have to do is give credit to Bel Connon, and I think they probably had a little bit of a look at what we did at Woden last year and decided that, you know, they're going to have to lift their game, and they recruited really well and their coaches really got them well drilled. And they were a fantastic opposition last, during the Fed Cup. They were a very well-drilled side, and all credit to them. And they've lifted their game from last year. They're a much, much better side than what they were last year. So it certainly looks like we've got a real battle on our hands to try and, you know, maintain our spot as the number one team in Canberra. And certainly they've got the bragging rights for the first trophy of the season.
Oh, gee, I don't think they'll be taking it for granted. But if I just reflect on the Woden Valley Women's Premier League journey, this game last year, this same game last year, you fronted up against Bell West. Now, Bell West had won four of these Fed Cups prior to that encounter in 2010. And it'd be pretty fair to say they cleaned your clock.
Certainly last year. I think for the first 10 minutes we were all over them, and then I think they had the rest of the match and we ended up as 5-1 losers, and they were certainly much, much stronger than us on the day. And it was quite interesting for us. It's a little bit of a turnaround. I thought we had at least 50-50 the possession against Bel Connon. So I guess in some ways we turn around and look at last year. At this time of the year, we came off with a 5-1 defeat. And then a win in the reserve grade competition. And this year we've got a loss on penalties, and we won the reserve grade competition again on the weekend as well. So I guess in terms of looking at it, we're probably sitting a little bit better this year than what we were last year. But certainly there's still a lot to do, and Bel Connon are going to be real foes for us this year.
Yes, I think for the listener, you're understating the position at Woden Valley there. I do agree, Bel Connon looked a sensationally better outfit than they did at the end of last season. Your two Woden teams also played that Elaine Watson final on the weekend as well.
Yeah, we were very lucky, actually. It was probably the easiest final to watch when it's Woden versus Woden, but we ended our young 18s team in the Elaine Watson reserve grade competition, and they were lucky enough to get through to the semis on goal difference, and they then played sensationally well. They beat the Western Creek reserve grade side 3-0, and one of our young up-and-coming stars, Hayley Armstrong, scored a hat-trick there. Gee. And our reserve grade side got through to the final as well with a good 1-0 win over Bell West. So they both ended up playing each other in the final of the Elaine Watson. So that's probably the easiest final to go and watch when you know you're going to win your trophy somewhere. So the reserve grade side ended up winning 4-1, but the young girls certainly pushed them, and they were winning 1-0 at the halftime break. So it was a really entertaining game, and again, great for Woden to win that trophy.
Indeed it was. Look, if I just take you back to the Fed Cup final, I also thought that it was a wonderful clash of systems and styles of play. Bel Connon and yourselves, Woden Valley, you don't play the same kind of football, do you?
No, we play a little bit differently, I think. Although I think Bel Connon have changed, and probably they're playing a little differently this year. They've had some fantastic pickups. They've regained the use of Amy Wilson, who was a fantastic Matilda and played at the 2000 Olympics. And she certainly adds, and she's playing up at 9 for them, and certainly adds a hell of a lot to them from last year. They've also picked up PC Heppelin, who was another Olympian in 2000, but unfortunately PC was injured and unavailable to play on the weekend. So they've changed their style a little bit. They've also picked up Snares from Bell West, and
yes.
certainly adds a lot of bite and a great work rate she has at in the centre of midfield. Mm. So they've strengthened in a few different departments, and I think Amy Spence, for my money, was probably the player of the game.
Yeah, actually. I agree with you there.
I thought not to take away from Jocelyn Marler, who won player of the game, I just thought Amy Spence was absolutely fantastic for Belconnen, and which is a little bit of a pity because Amy's a previous Woden player that we let go a few years ago, but she certainly played tremendously well for them. I think we probably tried to attack a little bit more than them, and they probably tried to hit us on the counter.
Yep.
Their defence was absolutely fantastic. But in credit for my team, I think they ran themselves into an absolute standstill. Ellie Raymond was unbelievable. Sophie Kochanos. Grace Field was just absolutely sensational. She was certainly out on her feet at the end of the 120 minutes. And Krista Hagen and some of the other girls. So we probably tend to try and play a little bit more of an expansive game than them. We like to keep our three forwards, our two wingers out high and wide and try and run at them. But unfortunately, it didn't work on the day, and Belconnen were tremendous in defence and kept trying to hit us on the counter-attack. So slightly different styles, but certainly Anthony's got them playing very well. They're very well-drilled side and hard to break down.
Yes, look, I have to say for myself, watching the... I'll leave the Belconnen side alone, because I'll talk to Anthony, see his perspective. The difference in styles made lots of things possible for either team. For myself, Woden just looked like a little bit of Barcelona in the valley, mate. It looked terrific. Lots of triangles, lots of movement of the ball. I actually thought you probably had about 60% of the ball in that first and second half. I thought you edged them out on possession, although...
Well, we may have done that, Pete, but the name of the game is sticking the ball in the back of the net. They stopped us well and truly from doing that, which is their first objective, and... You know, when it gets down to penalties, it's anyone's game, and they were certainly better penalty takers than what we were. So, I mean, congratulations to Anthony in the way he organised his squad. He had a game plan, obviously, to dent us a little bit and try and hit us on the counter, and he ended up with the money on the day. So, all credit to them.
Yes, look, I was going to ask you this too. If you sort of reflected on the FFA's national curriculum and the development plan, and you looked at the positional responsibilities. I know they didn't play 4-3-3, but the points of comparison are interesting. Your movement of the ball and retention of possession was very much, I thought, very much in line, and you were playing 4-3-3, was very much in line with the curriculum. But on the Belconnen side, I thought the work of their two centre-backs was just extraordinary. It was pitch perfect. It needed to be to keep your speedsters out.
Oh, look, again, look, Anthony had them very well drilled and very well organised, and we found it very, very difficult to break them down. And when we did get through, we probably lacked that little bit of class in finishing on the night, but that sometimes can win you a game. And again, their keeper, Jocelyn Mara, she had an absolutely, and she was voted, man of the match, and she was she had a tremendous game for them.
Very athletic.
She was a fantastic on the night, and we just couldn't get the ball past her, and we just didn't have that little bit of oomph that we needed, right at that attacking third to stick the ball in the back of the net. So, as I said again, I think Anthony had them really well drilled. He knew, I've been sitting next to him in the C-licence coaching course for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and he turned around and said to me, you're not going to play any different, are you? And I said, no, you know how we're going to play. We're going to play with one up front. We're going to have two out wide. So he knew exactly how we were going to play, and he set up his battle plan and was good enough to blunt us at that when we needed to score. So
I think it was absolutely terrific. I it's almost as I watched, I thought to myself, well, where do you go from here, Ed?
Well, it was very much a chess battle. It was certainly one of those, and for the purist, I think it was like I say, no one thinks that a 0-0 draw could be exciting, but I thought it was a really exciting game.
It was an absolute nail biter. Now, can I talk about your bench players and those on your bench, and when you introduce them into the game, really becomes important. And I thought that was one of the cat and mouse aspects of this game, given it was. Went into 120 minutes. How did you feel about all that?
Well, I guess it was was really difficult for us because unfortunately we got a couple of critical injuries to a couple of quality players of which I would have had one or two of them probably on my bench. And one of those was Jen Walsh, who was a fantastic winger for us in the grand final and last year. Real bustling player that can make things happen. And unfortunately, she's still been injured. She had a reoccurring groin injury from the grand final. As you may remember, she was replaced after about 20 minutes. She was the type of player that I would have certainly had on my bench and loved to bring on to make something happen. And unfortunately, Jen wasn't available. The other one was young Isabella Bogue-Taylor, who unfortunately tore a cruciate ligament in a futsal game not long ago. So she's on the mend as well. And we just lacked that little bit of probably explosiveness on the bench that we needed to make a difference. And my bench, fantastic player. So Kelsey Perry came on and did a great job for us. E. Watts came on. And young Bronte Carlin, who's is certainly a star for the future. She's never played as a winger before, and I've asked her to come on and play as a seven. And she's certainly a midfielder, and she came on and did a great job. But I probably just didn't have the firepower on the bench that we needed to probably change the game. And you know, that's just one of those things where those players weren't fit. Unfortunately, I had to leave out two of my access players and quality players in Catherine Brown and Meg McLaughlin. So, again, probably would have been in the mix as well. But due to capital football and restriction on the number of quality access players we're allowed to play, those players weren't allowed to play. So, unfortunately, I had players that probably should have been in the game or on the bench, but we were unable to play them.
Yeah, I thought that was very sad indeed, and there were plenty of remarks about that in the stand, about, you know, because obviously you could see the players were not kitted up.
It's a problem that's there. I mean, Capital Football makes their rules to somehow try and make it even. I'm not going to go into any debates about that, but certainly when I have to tell a player like Meg McLaughlin, who's played at Woden since she was probably 6 years old, and Catherine Brown, who's played at Woden since she's 6 years old, that they can't play in a final because an official body is saying that we have too many good players, that's a really hard pill to take. But unfortunately, that's something we've got to live with, and you know, unfortunately those two players didn't get to play a Fed Cup final because of those rules. So, you know, in the end, you just got to move on with it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But gee whiz, it detracts from the spectacle and the opportunity.
In saying that, I thought my bench players came on and they did a great job for us. Becky Watts is a new girl who's come back after a couple of years out of football, and fantastic kid, and I love the way she plays football. And Kelsey Perry is our... She probably suffers a little bit, Kelsey, in that she's our everywhere person. She can drop in and play anywhere. She can play 3-4, she can play 2-5, she can play 7 or 11. So she tends to be used all over the place. And sometimes that's a little bit unfair on a player, you know, that they're so good as a utility that they get pushed all over the place.
Oh, yes, indeed.
The one player that was unfortunate, because we had to change our goalkeeper, is that young Sienna Senatori didn't get on. And it would have been nice for her. She's a really up-and-coming great player for Woden.
Yes.
And she would have been great coming off the bench for us as well.
That was a hard injury, that, wasn't it? Because she stopped an absolute howler and obviously clearly fell backwards toward the goal.
Unfortunately, Taddy sort of, she was playing really well up until that stage and unfortunately got injured, and we really didn't want to take her off. But our reserve keeper on the night, Kate Greyrock, she was fantastic. And she's got a great addition that we've got. Well, she's joined us from ANU from last year, and she's already, you know, doing really, really well with our group. And we're really happy to have Kate along as well. So it was a problem losing Taddy, but we certainly didn't lose anything by bringing Kate on, that's for sure.
Yeah, and as we're talking about goalkeepers, the thought strikes me that you could probably number on one hand for each of them the number of times they kicked the ball long. It was all getting fed from the back, each side keeping possession. Have a real dig at each other.
Well, again, I think that we're all looking to try and maintain possession. And we're not a tall side. We're not a big side. And so the old long ball through is really not one that we favour. And we really like to try and play the ball out from the back. So, you know, I think Taddy probably kicked the ball two or three times and Kate probably kicked it two or three times in the whole game. Other than that, they were looking to distribute out wide to the two or the five. Or if they were marked up, give it to the three or the four to come through. And... I think that's the way football should be played. And I think Anthony tried to do that a fair bit of the time as well. So,
yeah, he did.
I mean, he's looking to play good football as well at Belconnen. So certainly, to some degree, I think that the teams nullified themselves, and that's why it was such a chess game of football.
Well, it was an absolutely terrific game of football so early in the season. As I say, I just wonder, wow, what this is going to be like as the season progresses. Because looking at those two teams, you can't escape one conclusion. There's a lot of good young players out there.
There's some fantastic young players in Canberra, and the women's game just keeps getting better and better and better every year. And having been involved in the game for a while, I just look at the quality of, say, you know, you look at the teams that were playing 5, 6, 7 years ago and look at them now, and the standard is just tremendous. The number of quality young kids coming through, the 13, 14, 15-year-olds at a lot of these clubs, just amazing. And at Woden, we're very lucky. We have a coach in our junior ranks, Colin Johnson, who's done a fantastic job with the majority of our young female players. And, you know, we're seeing the benefits of those kids coming through. And at age 13 and 14, and they're playing under-18s for us, but certainly when they get their chance to play reserve grade or first grade, they're holding their own. So there are some great female players coming through Canberra.
Oh, look, I just think that's fantastic. Look, can we close on this note? Given that we've got a lot of these players coming through, they can't all go to ACTAS. So clearly, a lot of responsibility now is falling on the clubs and people like yourself and the coach of Bill Connan as examples to develop these players. This is a very heavy responsibility.
Well, I guess it is, and I think what worries me as a coach and someone who's looking at female development, that ACTAS can only take so many players. And I guess I worry about our pathway now for our talented players that don't make ACTAS, and there's certainly a number of those playing in lots of clubs.
Yes.
And I guess I sometimes worry about where their next step is. There is no progression. Where is the progression for these kids, you know? And that certainly does concern me, and I'm not sure how we're going to go about, you know, fixing that problem.
Well, indeed, and who would have thought 3 or 4 years ago we'd be talking about the same developmental issue for the girls and women as we do about the boys?
Well, again, I think the same thing with the boys' program. If you go back and look years ago, we probably had 3 outlets where our local boys could actually get to the next level through, I think at that stage, the ACTAS men's program was playing in the National Youth League. We had Canberra Deakin in the National Youth League. Yeah. And we had the AIS. So we had some vehicle where players could come out of the state. But I look there now and say, well, where is the pathway for that young player coming through? If he doesn't make the Institute of Sport, there is no other competition. And the only place to look is to play at the local level. And I'm just not sure that's good enough for developing our younger players further.
No, I think you're right. But one thing we can be certain of is that Woden Valley and Bell Connan are playing darn good football. You certainly set the standard early, mate. You've set the bar very high indeed.
Look, I think there's some other clubs playing really good football as well. Like Gungahlin have come into the competition under Bruce Green. He's trying to get them to play really good football there at Gungahlin. And look, they've done some good things. I think that you've got Pat Mills as a quality coach that will continue to have Bell West playing a slightly different type of football. And unfortunately, they've lost a couple of quality players. But Pat will always get Bell West going. You know, there's people like Adam Byrne at Tuggeranong, and I think, you know, Tuggeranong did a fantastic job, so hopefully they'll be as strong as what they were last year. So there's all good things for women's football in Canberra, but let's hope we can continue to improve.
Well done, mate. I know the penalty shootout didn't end the way you wanted to end, but I tell you what, it was the best 120 minutes of football I've seen in a while.
It certainly didn't end very well. I think their experience paid a little bit in the penalty shootout. They had 3 very experienced players taking their first 3 penalties, and Amy Wilson and I think Amy Spence took one, and I think Michaela Day was the other person that took one, and all quality experienced players, and they all rocketed in the back of the net. And it was a little bit of a mix-up with the penalty numbers, and unfortunately young Bronte Carlin, who we'd put down as number 8, ended up being number 3, and I think she didn't really feel like she was ready to take the penalty as third person. But certainly they took their penalties really, really well, and we didn't take those chances. So I guess it's something you never train for, but maybe we need to start doing some penalty practice at training.
Well done, Ed.
Thanks, Pete.
Look forward to seeing you through the season.
All right, mate. Talk soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
As well as getting the correct training on the pitch, another essential part of any young footballer's development and conditioning is that they have the correct diet. To explain the importance of nutrition and find out what a young player should eat as part of their routine before and after a match, we asked Villarreal club doctor and nutritionist Hector Uso for his expert view.
Nutrition has fundamental effects on the development of a game. On the one hand, you want to get the maximum energy performance out of the player. And on the other hand, the recovery of the player after the match is also very important. A player is in a better position to be used in the next match if he eats correctly and drinks what he's supposed to. The different aspects to nutrition are very basic. First, you can say that this is the normal nutrition of one average person. Then next, how to achieve the maximum energy capacity of a player during a match. And then thirdly, and very importantly, the physiological recovery of a player's body.
To help the body to be in an optimum state for high-level performance, a good diet is essential. Uso knows it's not only what to eat, but also when, on and away from the match day.
Well, I would recommend them to eat natural things. That means, firstly, that they need vitamins and minerals, which can be obtained from vegetables, if possible raw, like in a salad. That would be a great first dish. And then a salad, and when I say salad, I mean a green salad, and not tuna and eggs, with a second dish which combines carbohydrates and a few proteins, for example pasta, as light as possible with a bit of tuna. So from that, you get carbohydrates, proteins, and from the olive oil, fat. And finally some fruit. That would be a perfect dinner. The meal before a match should consist of carbohydrates, with just a little protein, because proteins might cause difficulties with digestion. But at that moment, you could say that the energy basis of the player is set up. You have to try to maintain glucose in the blood by giving it some carbohydrates, like in pasta or rice, and always in combination with vegetables, and a small amount of protein, and as free from fat as possible, so fish is ideal. That would be the perfect meal before a match. We usually eat 3 hours before the game, but I would recommend eating even a bit before that. Something like 3.5 hours before would be perfect. When the match has finished, I would recommend eating 30 minutes after the final whistle. The reason for trying to eat as soon as possible after a match is because there is a period of time, up to 45 minutes after physical exercise, where there is a window of recovery for the body, and where you can feed it with carbohydrates and protein. At the end of a match, the muscles in the hepatic portal system of a player are completely exhausted. So during this phase, you have to recover glucose and carbohydrates via pasta or rice. And I say pasta or rice because they are the best thing to eat at that moment. And then you also have to restore and repair the player's damaged protein balance. So the player is fit again for physical exercise the day after and does not suffer from muscular problems. So to prevent that, you need to take proteins. We usually eat in the bus. We have a cold pasta salad with tuna, eggs and turkey, to ensure that the players eat something during those 45 minutes after the match, which feeds them with proteins and carbohydrates to rebalance their bodies.
In the second part of our insight into nutrition with Villarreal club doctor Hector Uso, we turn the focus to hydration, offering advice for all young footballers on the what, when and why of taking drinks on board before, during and after a match.
The perfect hydration for a football player would be a basis of water in combination with electrolytes, and then also adding vitamins and minerals to the water, followed by some carbohydrates, but not many of those. But vitamins and minerals are necessary because you lose lots of them through sweating. I would recommend for players to always drink during the match, at half time, as well as towards the end of a game. It's always recommended. Of course, you can't drink constantly, but you should as much as possible. So, for example, half a liter is essential. And then towards the end of a match, it depends on how much water the player has lost. But normally, we're talking about 1.5 liters or 2 liters of liquid.
The overall importance of nutrition and hydration cannot be underestimated. And USO has some key guidelines for young players.
I would tell them to get enough fluids, to have good hydration, and to do so especially with water. Secondly, try to introduce into every meal a group of carbohydrates, proteins and fats, but always the right amounts. Eat 5 meals a day, but in small quantities. Don't stuff yourself with one big meal. The role of the mother and father is fundamental. As a child, to have an image against which you can mirror yourself, the child looking at the parents. During my consultations, I get comments from parents. My son doesn't eat this and that. My first question then is, do you eat it yourself? We start with ourselves, with getting proper nutritional habits, and then transmit that to our children. For a child, it is even more important to grasp, even more than professional players. Because you have to understand that the basics of nutrition are much easier to introduce from the very beginning, so that when they reach a higher level in sport, they are already aware. Also, you mustn't forget that a child doing sports has doubled the energy requirements. Being a child, plus exercising your sport. So if the nutrition isn't correct, the child won't have the necessary energy levels. And it can also affect the development of that child.
You have been listening to the Near Post Local on 2XXFM, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. Football and futsal in the capital region. Go to the podcast for this program at www.nearpostlocal.blogspot.com. You will find a lot of interesting interviews and items there for the discerning football or futsal tragic. Enjoy your futsal and football. See you next time. Ta-da. Round and round, up and down, through the streets of your